Hallelujah. We're going to be continuing our series on how to get anything you want from God. How to get anything you want from God. How many of y'all know that y'all can get anything you want from God if you do the right thing?
Yep.
If you've been here for the past couple of months, you should know that by now. Now, you know, some people might say, well, Pastor Troy, you know, I'm not into that name it and claim it stuff. That's your problem, not mine. I believe I can get anything I want from God if I meet certain prerequisites. And we have talked about those prerequisites for the past several weeks. For example, we told you that if you check your motive for wanting the thing that you want, you claim to want, then you can get anything you want from God because you have the right motive. If you have the wrong motive, if you are greedy, trying to hoard things up for yourself, you don't care about nobody else, it's all about me, myself, and I, then no, you will not get anything you want from God. But if you care about people, you want to share what you have with others, you want to be blessed so that you can be a blessing as God promised to Abraham, then guess what? You can get anything you want from God. Hallelujah. We also told you that the next thing you had to do was search the scriptures. Or if what you're wanting is not necessarily mentioned verbatim in the scriptures, then you are to seek the wisdom of God. See, you might be wanting to be a missionary in Alaska or Greenland or Iceland, but you just don't know whether or not that's the will of God. But you have a strong desire to go to one of those freezing places and minister to the people over there. Well, that's where you begin to seek God, and God will tell you yay or nay. Now, it's no use of you wasting your time seeking God as to whether or not you should go to Las Vegas and play the slot machines. Oh God, if it be thy will, show me whether or not I should go to Las Vegas and gamble away all my hard earnings. That's a stupid request. You don't need to search the scriptures, nor do you need to seek with the will of God for that kind of thing. So you search the scriptures and you find out the will of God concerning those things that will delight God's heart as well as your own. Praise God. All right. We also learned that we are to recognize that it is God's intense desire to give us the desires of our hearts when our requests are in line with his will and are prayed with the right motives. So if you don't recognize that God wants to do these things for you, then you will be reluctant to pray. Or if you do pray, you will pray superficial, not really faith-filled prayers. You will probably pray prayers of unbelief. But when you understand that God wants to do the very thing that you are wanting him to do, then you will pray with faith and you will persevere. Glory to God. We also learned that if God's word or his personal revelation to you is consistent with your desires, then you need to read and you need to meditate on his promises until faith is built in you. See, that's the step a lot of people miss. It's not like it hasn't been taught over and over and over again within the body of Christ, but people are just plain lazy. They just want things to happen. We live in this microwave of his age and this McDonald's going through the drive-through age where people just want everything done quickly. I'm hungry, let me pop in one of my frozen Stouffer sandwiches or one of my Hot Pockets and kabow, I got something to eat. When I was a kid, when I was hungry and I wanted something to eat, mom said, okay, I'm going to cook. And I would still have to wait maybe 30 minutes to an hour before my food is ready. Y'all's now can just go to the freezer and pull out one of them frozen foods with all those byproducts and chemicals in them, pop them in the microwave, and Lord only knows what those microwaves do to us. and kaboom, you got instant food. And see, because we have all this instant stuff now, we kind of translate this mentality over into the kingdom of God. And so we want everything to happen so fast. But see, God has a prerequisite, which is called faith, and he is and I to meditate on the word. Say meditate.
Meditate
on the word of God is not just opening my Bible, turning to John chapter 11 verse 35 and saying, Jesus wept. Well, I did my Bible reading for the day. Jesus wants you to have the word abiding in you. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you can ask for whatever you want and it will be done unto you. But you cannot have the word abiding in you until you meditate on that word, until you let it revolve around and around and around in your mind until it gets inside of you. Once it is inside of you, then your faith begins to be developed and can't nothing knock you off of that thing, no matter what the circumstances look like. Every time something goes contrary or somebody says contrary to the word of God, because the word of God is in you, you will speak the word of God. Praise God.
Amen.
I remember some years ago when we were trying to get here to Rhode Island, and I had been given the job that I have presently, but nobody knew whether they was going to pay my way or not, let alone my family's way and our household goods and all that stuff. We had no guarantee of that, and as a matter of fact, because of the type of position I was hired on, they told me that there was no way that was going to happen. If I wanted to get to Rhode Island, I would have to pay my own way. And so one day, my wife and I were up at the civilian personnel office sharing with them about our need to get to Rhode Island. They told me, oh, you're not going to, nobody's going to pay your way over there. You might as well just forget about that. But because the word of God was already residing in me, I hope my wife remembers this. I sat and I looked that lady boldly in her face and I told her, I trust my God. I will get to Rhode Island, and not only will I get to Rhode Island, but my whole family is going with me and we will get our way paid somehow.
Amen.
Well, it was no more than a couple of days later where the office who was hiring me here called me up and said, Troy, we got good news. Not only are we paying your way, but we're paying the whole family and your household goods. I want you to know that this office has never done that before, and guess what? They've never done it since. Let me tell you something. God is good. That was a good place for y'all to cheer. Praise God.
Amen.
That was a good place for y'all to cheer and clap and say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
That should encourage you. That should tell you that if you stand on God's word, no matter what anybody says to you, then you will get the thing that you want.
Amen.
I wanted to get here to Rhode Island. Sometimes when I come here, I don't know why, but I wanted to get to Rhode Island, and God got me here. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
But that was only because the word was in me, and when opposition came against me, I was able to speak the word of God, even when the experts, and these ladies were experts, even when the experts gave me all the reasons, all the governmental regulations, and told me, well, I'm sorry you don't like the sermon, babe. But when they told me all the reasons why I could not get here, God made a change in that whole thing. Amen? God will do the same for you if you just trust Him. Praise God. We also learned that after you develop your faith in God, then you go before Him and petition Him for what it is you want Him to do or do. See, a lot of people, you know, you would think that this was a given, that this was understandable, but a lot of people don't understand the fact that you really do need to pray in order to get what you want. A lot of folks think that, oh, well, if God wants me to have it, then He'll give it to me whether I ask Him for it or not. That's the dumbest thing you could ever think if you read your Bible. Anybody who reads their Bible knows that God will not answer a prayer that is not prayed. He cannot answer unprayed prayer. How can He answer a prayer if you don't pray? Amen?
Amen.
God wants to answer your prayers, but He can't answer them if you do not pray them. Then we looked at the fact that we need to to live a life of holiness, free from sin, in order to ensure the answer to our prayers. See, a lot of people, they live in sin, and then they don't get the answer to their prayers, and then they say, well, it must not have been the will of God. No! Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 25 says, it is your sins that are withholding good things from you. It's not God. It is our sins that withhold good things from us. Isaiah chapter 59 says that God's ear is, his hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is he deaf that he cannot hear. But he said, it is your sins that have separated you from me. God wants to do things in our lives, but many times our sins withhold him from doing things. So somebody might say, well, you know, Pastor, you're preaching a name and claim it message. Not in the sense that you might think it is. If you ain't going to live holy, you can't get anything from God. But if you're going to live... Now, that's not saying we all... You know, listen, y'all. I don't know if I go a day without messing up some kind of way. I don't know if I go a day without having the wrong thought towards somebody. I try not to. I make every effort not to, but some things pop up in my mind sometimes. You know, desires to want to smack somebody. Desires to want to just do the wrong thing. These things happen to me just like they happen to you. You know, being a pastor doesn't exempt me from having to fight temptation. But you know what? I don't deliberately go out and sin. I don't deliberately go out and buy drugs. I don't deliberately go out to bars and go-go bars. And I don't deliberately go on the internet at night when my wife is sleeping and looking at the wrong thing on there. I don't deliberately do that. I don't deliberately go to the liquor store and buy that MD 2020 and hide it in the refrigerator. I don't deliberately do those things. Many of us deliberately sin. We sin without compunction, and we say, well, the grace of God. God, Jesus loves me. This I know, even though I'm acting like a... praise God. Anyway, we need to live lives of holiness if we want God to do things for us. Praise God. Amen?
Amen.
I know that's a hard one. I know you don't like that one. But if you want things from God, if you want God to give you anything you want from Him, you need to live according to His rules, His laws, and His dictates. Praise God.
Amen.
When I say laws, I'm not talking about legalistic type of things. I'm not talking about, you know, get yourself circumcised or, you know, do this or do that. I'm simply talking about obeying the Holy Spirit who is in you. The Bible says if we are led by the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Praise God. Amen. Now, we get to the seventh one. Do not give up during times of testing and seemingly unanswered prayer. Do not give up. Say it with me. Say, do not
give up
during times of testing and seemingly
unanswered prayer.
You see, if you know for a fact that the thing that you want is exactly what God wants for you, in other words, you have gone through the Bible, you have meditated on His promises, your motive is right, you know that the desire of your heart is right with God, that you don't want this thing necessarily for selfish reasons. You know, you might be wanting to go to law school. Why? So that I can help other people who, if they're jammed up in the court case or whatever have you, I could go into business law and I could help the church, you know, God build up the church more and all. I mean, whatever your motive might be for doing whatever you want to do. You might be wanting to be a doctor because you want to help people. Not so much because you want to make money. You know, I really remember something Jackie told me a few weeks ago, and I admire her for it since. I told her, yeah, if you come work in my office, you know, because she wants to be a lawyer. I said, you come work in my office, you can make money. And she said, well, that's not the purpose for doing what I want to do. And that's what you got to get to the right purpose. You got to have the right motive for one of these things. So if you have the right motive, you search the scriptures, you meditated on them, you know that God wants you to have the very thing that you're asking for, then you should not give up during times of testing. See, just like you were saying earlier, too many of us want everything to happen instantaneously. We want things to pop up. You know, I don't know about you. How many of y'all, when you were kids, watched some of those stupid shows like Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie? Yeah, I watched them shows. You know, I used to love Jeannie because she was cute. So I used to watch I Dream of Jeannie, I used to watch Bewitched, and I would watch them twinkle their nose, you know, or she blink their eyes, and kapow, things would pop up. You know, we watch shows like that. You know, some of y'all today are probably watching movies like Harry Potter. I would not recommend it, but I know some of you watch it anyhow. Some of you are watching all kinds of other shows that have magic and stuff in them that I personally would not recommend you watch because magic is against the Word of God. However, you see these things and you see the instantaneous things that come about through magic. Well, I want you to know that God is not a magician. Say this with me. Say, God is not a magician. As a matter of fact, God does not always work on our timetable, and we will learn that in a moment. But also, sometimes we are dealing with warfare. But regardless of whatever the reason is, if you know for a fact that God wants you to have that thing, if you meditated on the promises of God, if you have prayed and you have stood in faith, then just because it does not happen right away, please do not give up. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. This is probably the most important aspect of this whole series of lessons we've been teaching you. It's the fact that you cannot give up. You should not give up. Let me tell you something. It's not the person who gets knocked down that's a quitter. It's the person who gets knocked down and stays down. That's the loser. You can get knocked down, but don't quit. Get yourself up, dust yourself off, keep on moving. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, it says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men are always to pray and not to faint." Or another translation says, "lose heart." The analytical, literal translation, which is supposed to be a literal rendering of the original language of the New Testament, says, "Now he was also telling an allegory to them to show that it is necessary to always be praying and not to continue becoming discouraged." God wants you to pray and not to become discouraged. He wants you to persevere. Can anybody? All right, this is a test. See how y'all dictionary skills and your grammatical skills and your grammar skills are. What does the word discourage mean? Can anybody tell me what is discouragement? Yes, Virginia.
Discouragement is like a stage in a person's life which they feel like they can't do anything or can't complete anything.
Wow, that is good. A state in a person's life in which they feel like they cannot do anything or can't complete anything. You know, yes, Virginia, there is no Santa Claus. But that was good. I like that. Discouragement basically means lack of courage. You know, discourage. Discourage. Listen to that. Discourage. is a lack of courage. Did you have your hand up?
I was just going to say, like, to be scared to do something.
Be scared to do something.
All right. You don't have the courage to do something.
That's good. That's good. See, I like both Virginia and Kiera's definitions. You know, a person who feels like they cannot continue or accomplish anything, a person who is scared to do anything. Why are they scared to do something? Because they feel like it ain't going to work. It ain't going to happen. They just can't do it. That's what discouragement is. And see, when you lose courage, that means you have lost faith in God. When you've given up before the time of the answer to your prayers come, you have lost faith in God. And God says, any man who puts his hand to the plow and turns back is not fit for the kingdom. God does not take, he does not smile at discouragement. He does not take a happy outlook on discouragement. Matter of fact, God has some pretty, let's just say nasty things to say about discouragement. He tells Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, he says, do not become dismayed or discouraged. Do not lose your courage. Because he told him, you will soon lead this people into the promised land. A prophecy that was given to me by Kamari a couple of weeks back. Glory to God. And I've kept courage ever since. So you cannot give up just because you don't see the answers to your prayer immediately. Let's go down to verse 8. I want to read this to you from the New Testament and Expanded Translation by Kenneth S. Weiss. It says, yet the Son of Man, having come, will he find the aforementioned kind of faith on the earth? A faith which keeps on pleading in prayer, such as that exemplified by the persistence of the widow with regard to the judge. See, the kind of faith God wants you to have is one that does not quit. One that continues to plead in prayer until it has received the very thing that it is desired of God. Too many people do not see answers to prayer. Too many people do not get what they want from God. Not because God didn't want them to have it, but because they so easily gave up. Discouragement is a killer of a lot of things. Discouragement is a killer of dreams. Discouragement is a killer of revival. Discouragement is a killer of church growth. Discouragement is a killer of ministry, of college, of school, of education. Discouragement is a killer. I was talking to a young pastor last night on the phone, and he was telling me about how an older pastor had grown his church in Rhode Island to 60 people and got discouraged, and he took off. Discouragement will kill a ministry because the person doesn't see it growing the way they want it to grow. Or people ain't supporting it the way he feels it's supposed to be supported. But it's not just ministry. It's any kind of dream you might have. When you run into obstacles, it's easy to become discouraged. But the kind of faith that God wants you to have is not one that says, well, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. I asked him for that thing, and 5 minutes later, it hasn't happened yet. No, God wants you to have a faith that keeps on pleading in prayer. Say that with me. Say, God wants me, to have a faith that keeps on
pleading in prayer.
God does not want me
to be discouraged.
God does not want me
to give up.
Alright, I want you to understand, people who have achieved great things in this world are not people who got things instantly. People who have achieved great things in this world have kept at it and kept at it and kept at it until they have finally got the thing that they wanted. So you need to learn to keep at it and keep at it until you get the very thing that you want. I want you to understand something. Just because you don't see the thing happen the moment that you pray does not mean that God says no. It does not mean that God said no. God does a delay in prayer. Say that with me. Say a delay.
Delay.
In answer. To prayer.
Are not necessarily
a no from God. God does not necessarily say no just because the prayer, the delay, there's a delay in receiving the answer. It is not necessarily His will that you didn't get the thing just because you don't see it immediately. There are sometimes reasons why there are delays in prayer, and we have to learn to find out what they are before we just simply throw it to the wind and say, well, it hasn't happened. I've been praying about this for a week, a month, whatever, and it still hasn't happened yet, so it must not be God's will. No, we need to find out what could be going on. Why aren't we getting the answers that we need? Now, there are some reasons for experiencing delays in answer to prayer, and let me share a couple of them with you. In Daniel chapter 10, verses 10 through 14, we find out that one of the reasons why Daniel, who had been fasting and praying for 21 days to receive an answer from God concerning a prophecy, he had not received an answer. But he continued to pray, he continued to fast until an angel finally got to him. When the angel came, he told Daniel, he said, from the first day that you set your heart towards God, he said, God heard you and I was sent. Okay, so God heard him the very first day and sent this angel. So why did it take 21 days for Daniel to receive the answer? I'm so glad you asked that. The reason why was because the prince of Persia stood against this angel, and there was a warfare for most of those 21 days until God finally sent Michael, the archangel, to help this angel and get him through so that he could go back and give Daniel the answer that he needed. So many times, your answer could be delayed because you have demonic opposition going against you. You can't give up just because you got to deal with the devil and demons. You have already been given victory over them. Another reason can be the testing the genuineness of your faith. In James chapter 1, the Bible tells us, James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, we are told that the trying of our faith worketh patience. Sometimes God wants to see, do you really want that thing before He gives it to you? You see, God is sovereign. Listen to me. God is sovereign. He can do whatever He wants. Now, when we say God is sovereign, that doesn't mean that He's arbitrary, like some people teach, that He just picks and chooses what He's going to do for no good reason. When we say God is sovereign, that means He has the authority to decide and determine how He's going to answer prayer. He does not have to work on your timetable or my timetable. He can say, okay, yeah, I'm going to give you that thing, but let me see how bad you want that. Let's wait a little while. So sometimes God delays Himself in order to test the genuineness of your faith. You give up, that means you didn't have any faith in the first place. There's also God's set timing. Say God's set timing. God has His own timing by which He likes to do things. God knows the exact time and the right time in which you need to get that thing. God does not always give it to you on the timetable that you want. So you think you need it right now. And God says, no, you don't necessarily need it right now. You're going to get it, but it ain't going to be right now. I have a certain time in which I'm going to give that to you. So what you have to do is say, okay, it may not be right now, but I know God's going to do that. I like what the old folks used to say. They used to say, God is never early, He's never late, He's always on time. Glory to God. And that, you know, some of them old folks' sayings are true. So what do we do when we experience delays?
What do we do when we continue to experience delays? I'm so glad you asked. What we do, we continue to claim answers even when we do not see them. Turn with me to Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Let's begin at verse 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Say, have faith in God.
Have faith in God.
God wants you to have faith in Him. God wants you to believe Him. Last Tuesday we talked, we had Bible study, we talked a little bit about faith. And we asked, what will keep you from having faith in a person? And most people, for a general synopsis of what most people said, is a lack of integrity in that person. Why would you know that God is a God of integrity? He doesn't break promises. He always keeps His word. He's faithful to His word. And He loves us dearly.
Yeah.
It's easy to have faith in God. So I say, have faith in God.
Have faith in God.
And verse 23 says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Woo, you can get anything you want from God. You can have whatsoever you saith if what you're saying is right within the parameters of Scripture, within the Word of God, or with whatever God has spoken to you. Remember what I told you about the lady in the civilian personnel office when we were in Japan, who told me that I couldn't make it to, me and my family wasn't going to make it here, or that I was going to have to come up with some money, and that was a lot of money, to pay my own way here. I spoke the word of God, and I'm here. Praise God. Verse 24 says, therefore I say unto you, now this is important, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe. Say believe.
Believe.
That ye receive them. Say believe that ye receive them.
Believe that ye receive them.
And ye shall have them.
Say, and ye shall have them.
And ye shall have them. I want you to notice the scripture. This is vitally important. See, people don't understand how faith works. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, if God specifically said, Troy, I'm going to give you blank, then I begin to thank God beforehand. The reason why is because I believe that I receive before I even have it. R.A. Torrey, he's a teacher from way back when, said that in the original Greek, that means to believe that you have already received this thing before you ever see a physical manifestation of it. And that's consistent with other portions of Scripture in the Bible. Kenneth S. Weiss, I like his translation, says, on this account, I am saying to you, all things, whatever you are praying and asking for, be believing that you receive them, and they shall be yours. See, you don't get the thing, you don't get a visible, tangible manifestation of the thing you're asking God for until you first have demonstrated that you believe that you already received from God. Praise God. Amen. And if I believe that God is going to do that thing for me, then the words of my mouth will line up with what I believe. So you can't sit up there and say, well, I believe that God's going to take care of my college tuition, or that God's going to get me a dormitory room, or whatever you believe in God for. Or medical school, or law school, or whatever it is that you believe in God for. You can't sit there and say, well, I believe that God's going to take care of this one minute, and then the next minute somebody says, so, how are you going to get to law school? I don't know, Pastor Troy. I'm just really hoping that God will take care of this thing. I'm really hoping. I sure prayed about it, but I don't know. That's not faith. Faith says, When I ask you, how are you going to get to law school? Pastor Troy, I believe my God will supply all my need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. He told me that he wanted me to go to law school. He's given me his word. He said that he would take care of it for me. So I don't know how it's going to happen, Pastor Troy, but it's going to be done in the name of Jesus. Now that, my friends, is faith. Amen?
Amen.
You believe that you receive it before you even have it. Oh, I don't know, Pastor. No, that's not faith. 1 John chapter 5, verse 15 says the same thing. If we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have. Say we have.
We have.
The petitions that we desired of him. See, if you know that God heard you when you prayed, then you should know that you already have. It's just like money in the bank. It's just like saying, hey, I know my God said that he would do it, so I trust him. So what you need to learn to do is keep your confession positive. That is what we call a positive confession. In other words, I am to only speak what the Word of God says. If I speak the opposite of the Word of God, then that reveals what is in my heart, because Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if I am speaking negativity, if I am speaking against what the Word of God says, then that means that I have not developed my faith, and I need to go back and start meditating on these promises again until faith has been developed. Praise God.
Amen.
But I cannot become discouraged. I must continue to speak positively. Let me show you an example of this from the life of the Apostle Paul. I love Paul. Paul is one of my heroes. He was a great man of God, wrote the majority of the New Testament. Paul was a man of faith. Now most of us could not handle all the stuff that Paul went through. Paul went through shipwreck, beatings, persecution, lies. I mean, he would establish a church, get a work going, and then he'd leave it, and then people come in there and start lying on him and start trying to destroy the church. He had to put up with all of this stuff. Sometimes Paul went hungry, thirsty. He went without having his needs met. But Paul always kept a positive attitude, and he always stood on what the Word of God says. And he was a praying man, and when he prayed, he expected God to answer his prayers.
Amen.
He wasn't like many of us today. Well, I sure hope so. No, Paul, when he prayed, he kept a positive confession right after he prayed. Oh man, how much time do I have? Okay, I got a little bit of time. Are y'all getting anything out of this at all?
Yes.
I mean, this is some important teaching, y'alls. Turn with me to Acts chapter 27. This is a lot of this is basic faith teaching, but it's important. Matter of fact, I'm ashamed of myself that I have not taught a lot of these things earlier. But when you begin to grasp these fundamental principles, I'm telling you, you're going to be dynamite Christians for God. You're going to start seeing some answers to prayer, and you're going to help to build up this ministry. See, we as leaders can't do this on our own. Myself, Pastor Christic, Elder Steve, we can't do this by ourselves. We need y'all. Mm-hmm. And if y'all ain't got no faith, y'all ain't going to help us. But if you got faith, and you know how to pray, and you know how to get answers to prayer, man, we're going to tear this place up, y'all. We're going to tear this city up. We're going to see some revival happening in this city. You hear me? Do you hear me?
Yes. Amen.
If you have faith, how do you get faith? You simply develop it by meditating on the Word of God. But look at what Paul did. Acts chapter 27. Oh, let me put that up on the screen for you. Acts 27, beginning at verse 22. Now, the background of this, Paul was about to go to see Caesar, and he was about to get on the ship. And the Spirit of God began speaking to Paul, and Paul told him, he said, listen, guys, He said, this ship's going to get destroyed. We're going to be killed. But they wouldn't listen to Paul. So they went on ahead and they sailed anyway. You know, they're like, what is this religious nut talking about now? Forget about him. Let's get on ship and let's sail. And they got to sailing, and then they got into a storm. And so Paul began praying, because he knew his God. Praise God. Some of y'all need to remember this when you're on an airplane, and they start shaking, and people start talking about, we're going to crash. You need to stand up and say, not with me on this plane. I'm a child of God. My time has not come yet. With long life shall he satisfy me. He gives his angels charge over me. I got these angels that hold up this plane. You need to remember that. You need to speak forth the word of God. I got this, you know, I used to fly a lot. You know, in my last job, I used to fly a lot overseas. I used to have to fly a lot across the Pacific Ocean. You know, sometimes when I used to have to go to Germany. And they wouldn't take us from Japan straight to Germany. You know what they would do? They would fly me all the way across the Pacific to California. I had to stay in California overnight. Then I had to fly all the way across the United States to the East Coast, catch another airplane, and fly all the way across the Atlantic until I got to Germany. I did that a couple of times, about three times, I think. That's a long flight, over a whole long body of water. And sometimes the planes, you up in there and you get all that turbulence. You know, and first thing the devil does is say, boy, you're going to die. Your body's going to be right there in that Pacific Ocean. They ain't going to live and find you. Your wife ain't going to even know what happened to you. You know what I tell the devil? Devil!
You're lying.
You are a liar. Yes. Let God be true.
Yes.
Let every man be a liar. The angels have charged over me. I, the angel of the Lord, and cares about those who fear him. And says, I fear my God, then this plane will hold up. This plane is safe only because I am on it.
Amen.
Amen.
That's a blessing.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Not one time have I ever had to worry about a crash, because I've stood on what the word of God says. Well, look at Paul. Verse 22. He says, and now I exhort you. This is now after Paul has fasted and prayed. He's talked to God. He's asked God to help in this situation because they're in this storm. Now look at him. Verse 22 says, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. See, now this is the storm happening. The circumstances look like that people are going to die. And Paul, in the midst of the storm, he was talking faith. He was telling them, it doesn't matter what it looks like. I have prayed to my God, and there will be no loss of any man's life. Let's read on. Verse 23. For this stood by me. Listen to this, y'all. For this stood by me this night, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul.
Fear not, Paul.
Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee.
Amen.
See, Paul prayed, an angel came and gave him the word of God, and Paul was standing on the promise of God. And he was speaking the word of God that was given to him. And look at verse 25. Mm-hmm. He says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. I believe God. That it shall be even as it was told me. Paul said, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Paul said, I will stand on the word of God. Paul kept his confession positive. He kept his confession in line with what the word of God says. What you and I need to do is to begin to speak the word of God. We need to begin to speak the promises of God. It doesn't matter what our circumstances look like. It doesn't matter what the situations look like. You need to speak what the word of God says. You cannot give up just because things don't seem to be happening the way you want them to happen.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Oh my goodness, y'all. If you ain't paying attention to this, you're going to be coming to cry a couple months later. Pastor Troy, I prayed about this and it ain't happened yet. And I'm going to, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to remind you. I'm going to say, do you remember on December, what's the day? 27. I'm going to say, do you remember on December 27, 2009, I told
told you not to become discouraged. That was principle number 7 in our lesson, and you did not pay attention. You was over there talking on your cell phone or sleeping, and now that's why you are walking around here discouraged. Get out of here! I almost said that part. But I will remind you of the Word of God. Praise God. That's all I got to give you is the Word of God. I can't be God for you. I can't answer your prayers. All I can do is pastor you, shepherd you, and lead you in the way that the Word of God teaches. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. I wish I had more time on this. My time is definitely up. Oh, I wish I had more time to teach y'all. There's just so much more stuff on this part. Stand to your feet. I'm going to discipline myself. I truly hope you have learned something today. I truly hope that the Lord has blessed you. But what I desire most is to see that you are walking in this.